Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to it is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We don't care how you're taking us in, we just appreciate that you choose one. Thank you for making us a part of your morning. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Midland. This is Un Partido de Números, a numbers game.
Si.
Right here at VSiN. How you doing, man?
Muy bien, y tú.
Maybe, yeah,
should probably stop at some point.
Let's see how long Kelly can go. You start reciting your seventh grade dialogues.
Donde está la biblioteca?
Donde vas, Tomás? A clase? No, voy a la oficina. We got a good show today. Crack Unscripted. Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted, second hour. He is invested in a Circus Survivor entry.
Bum, so
we'll probably end up talking some Survivor with him. Tim Murray will join us this hour. College football extravaganza. Of course, we got the first round of the college football playoff this weekend. One game Friday, three games Saturday. What a football weekend this is, man. This is great.
I don't know if I'm mentally prepared for
That's
Saturday.
A great point. I don't know if I am either.
And Gil, if I'm not, my mother sure isn't when I'm flying to see her. I've already warned her. I've warned her as best I could.
Oh, dude.
I'm like, I will be there as early as I can, but you got to be prepared. I'm going to be watching a lot of football.
I'm flying into San Francisco for 36 hours, and Deversong fashion stylist, the two kids are there in San Francisco. Wait till they get a load of me for 36 hours. That's going to end well.
Have you seen the Saturday schedule? Like, it is,
it is
like noon Eastern to midnight, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be tough to navigate that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finesse. I believe that's what Bruno Mars was talking about. NFL Power Rankings. We haven't done NFL Power Rankings this week, so we'll do that with some changes at the top for young Gil. How about for you?
Changes at the top.
Yeah. And Zach Cohen is part of the Zach and Crack comedy duo. Zach Cohen always comes in here as well on a Thursday so that we call it Zach and Crack. That's not why we do it, because we love Zach. I shouldn't say that.
The next time one of us is out, though, we should make Zach and Crack fill in for the entirety of the 2 hours. Both of them.
You guys have to do 2 hours of comedy. 2 hours of comedy.
You do whatever you want. Yeah, do whatever you want, but it's you two together.
We'll do all that on the show. And with Tim Murray, not only will we talk about college football playoff games, but if he has any bets there, but also whether he has any bets on the college football bowl today, the two tomorrow, because bowl season still happening with all of this. You watch any of the Cal UNLV game yesterday?
Yeah, I caught most of the Boca Bowl. No, that's a lie. I caught the second
half. Del Boca Vista Bowl. It did go under, by the way.
Did go under.
Did go under.
Another rainy Boca Bowl. It's always something to, I think, keep in mind for years going forward, because we've seen a couple of those bowls get sloppy over the years. And the Boca Bowl, I attended a lot.
I guess,
fortunately. I was thinking about that yesterday. I was like, that is the bowl game I've attended the single most times.
That game just became a mockery, though, when Cal's quarterback went out. The backup quarterback could not play football. That was awful.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't know what you did, if you did anything live. I was thinking about jumping in on UNLV like a couple times and ended up staying away.
I hate myself for not doing it. He was inept.
Luckily enough, Gil, it's college football I don't get involved with enough to sit. Like, I'm not going to sit here like you just said. Like, I'm not hating myself, but it's still a missed opportunity.
Oh, I have a large amount of self-loathing this morning because I didn't do that.
That fake punt was pretty sweet.
It was pretty sweet. A little push-pass fake punt thing.
That's one of those when you see some of these gimmick plays where you're like, well, you should do that way more often like that. Why are the fake punts run like that way more often?
That actually kept UNLV in the game in the first half, really, that play.
Yeah.
Anyway, bowl season continues, so we'll get Tim's thoughts on that besides just the college football playoff. Denver and the Chargers tonight, Thursday night football on Amazon Prime. Where thankfully we don't have another sporting event unless you're betting on another one that you have to toggle back and forth on. Broncos, Chargers. Broncos in with a win, into the playoffs with a win in this ballgame. The Chargers, by the way, the Broncos can also get in with a loss this weekend if Cincinnati Indianapolis and Miami also lose on Sunday, if all three. If they lose tonight, they could still get in if all three of those teams lose on Sunday. Chargers in with a win, plus an Indianapolis and Miami loss on Sunday. So Broncos control their own destiny tonight. They win, they're in. That's the simplest of all that. As always, I like to give a shout-out to usually to Sean Corner on the Action Network on Thursday mornings. I always give a shout-out because he's great with the stats, with the advanced stats. It's not Sean Corner today, by the way, from the Action Network.
We'll let him have a week off.
Yeah, I want to give credit to, and I want to give credit to the proper person, which I will here. This is Nick Giffen over at the Action Network with these stats, so I give him a shout on this. But his case for this game tonight is, again, it's a three-point spread in favor of the homestanding Chargers. In this one, remember, the Chargers beat the Broncos earlier this year, a game that they led by a lot early and then sort of lollygagged their way into the victory. I don't know if they actually lollygagged, but you know what I mean. They sort of cruised in. The case here for the under, the total is really low. By the way, 2.5s are out there as well. 2.5
basically everywhere.
Enhanced juice. But it's some enhanced juice on the 2.5 with the Chargers tonight. So you can get that's the prevailing spread right now, I should say. The money line -148 on the homestanding Chargers. Total is low. It's at 41. Is it low enough? Let's make the case, courtesy of the stats here provided by Action Network. Denver puts up just 13.2 points per game on a 16.3 expected in the five games that they've played against top 13 defenses, according to Aaron Schatz's DVOA. Okay, you get that? So, mm-hmm. So again, they underperform against the top 13 defenses by DVOA in the league, which the Chargers are one of. Compared to when they play a lesser defense, they outperform. No surprise there. They score 30 points versus 27.5 expected points per game in the other nine games where they weren't playing a top 13 defense. The Chargers, second highest rate of cover 4, eighth highest of cover 6. Bo Nix, not good against against zone defenses, against non-man. He has around a 60% dip in production against cover 4. So it's a bad matchup when you look at it for Bo Nix through that prism. By the way, the Broncos will also be without running back Jaleel McLaughlin tonight. He has the highest share of explosive plays for the Broncos out of their backfield anyway. So you're thinking also with the Chargers defense, Chargers still are better against the pass than they are against the run. They're 16th against the run in DVOA. They're 7th against the pass. So you put all that in the mix, probably the Broncos, even despite not having Jaleel McLaughlin, they're probably going to try to, grind out things on offense based on that. At least that's what it is on paper. Take that for what it's worth. Other side of the ball, Broncos have the best defense on early downs, holding the opposition to a 35.2% success rate compared to a 43.6% league average. That's despite Denver facing offenses that generate 41.8% early down success rate on average, which means that they hold opponents to 6.5% below their normal rate. That could put the Chargers in a bunch of third and longs. Herbert faces a tough matchup against the Broncos' man coverage. Broncos allow the lowest explosive rate in the NFL when you remove the field position, when you're inside like the 10 or 20. And Herbert also has a 2.6% scramble rate with a clean pocket compared to just over 10% when pressured. And keep in mind, in the biggest detail of this game, perhaps, is he's nursing an ankle injury.
Yep.
So that's a lot of mumbo jumbo and a lot of numbers. But, you put that all in the mix. And thank you again for those stats. It just feels like you could have a game tonight despite there's a reason, right? The quick response ought to be all of that should be baked into that number, 41. That's why it's as low as it is. Is it low enough is the question.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. It feels about right to me, but it would still, if you made me bet on the total, it would still be under.
Still be under. Yeah. Do you have a play on the side?
I do not. I'm a little upset with it. I mean, this is, I think the pricing where we've seen these teams priced at, we've maybe even gone a little too far now. I thought 3 was appropriate. I was a little more, I'd only be interested in Denver tonight. I was interested a little bit when they were catching 3. I think the look ahead on this was 3.5. Now that we've gone all the way through the 3, I think it's a little tough to consider the Broncos straight side tonight, at least for me. I think it's an obvious teaser leg, though, if you've got someone to pair it with.
Do you feel like either of these teams, either or both, whether they get in the postseason or not, is capable of a playoff win?
Man, I'm going to go with Chargers more so than Broncos.
I don't know if I believe that.
Just because of the quarterback coach situation. But Herbert being injured right now is something to monitor. Like, that was not a good week last week.
No, because in your mind's eye, you know that Herbert has made huge plays with his legs this year in a way that you probably don't remember in other years. And I don't know. You're right. They got to get that. Obviously, he's got to heal. But I'm just saying, if you look at the AFC playoff picture, by the way, do we know the seven teams in the AFC playoff picture? Like, are we pretty much convinced? Are we pretty much convinced? Because I think I am. And this is not a controversial statement, but Buffalo from the east, Pittsburgh and Baltimore in whatever order from the north, Houston from the south, and then Kansas City, Denver, and the Chargers from the west? Are we convinced that those are the seven and that the Dolphins and Colts of the world and Bengals of the world are not going to get there?
Yep. I honestly think it's been this way kind of locked in for the last few weeks. Really, the big game was last week with Denver and Indianapolis. It felt like if this could actually mix things up at all.
But the Jonathan Taylor game, as it will be known. Yes.
But I think it's going to be those seven. Yeah, it's been looking like this for a while now. And I tip the cap of both of these teams, right? I mean, me and you were not high on either one of these teams heading into the season. And the fact that they are both in the playoff picture right now and looking pretty locked in there is damn impressive.
Now, can we say the same for the NFC? Let's start with the North. Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay. All in, let's say, right? Okay. Let's say Tampa Bay wins the South. Sorry, Michael Penix. And there's going to be an NFC, and the Eagles obviously win the East. So that's five. But then you have the scrum between Washington, Seattle, and Arizona. So I guess we don't know the seven in the NFC.
Not at all.
We don't.
I mean, you still have two divisions. Maybe we want to go one and a half divisions up for grabs, right? With the West and the South. But those are still up for grabs. I think the big question is, do you think is the wild card teams locked in?
Well, that's what I mean. I think we only have a little bit of question mark still at the bottom of the NFC, but that's about it with 3 weeks left to play. They'll jockey for position, not talking about position, but just in terms of the teams in and out. We'll come back. Some Zach Cohen.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Kelly, a lot of love for Gina Fiore's appearance on the show yesterday from everybody.
That was great.
Jesse Welch, what an incredible two segments with Gina. Gil really finds straight up gems to come on A Numbers Game. Kevin Ryan, wow, Gina Fiore killed it. James Sott, I mean, all segments you guys have are top notch, but this last one with Gina is extra educational. Awesome stuff. Let's see, I'm navigating through some of these.
Decent YouTube page, check it the whole two segments out now.
Yes, that's absolutely right. Bobby Knuckles. Kelly said he's buying me the 365 days of gambling calendar for Christmas from Gina Fiore. I wonder what Gil is getting me.
Rob is very concerned about his Christmas presents.
It really is. Let's see. Jeff Levine. Whoa, Gil, please tie Miss Gina to that chair. No, not for that. She's awesome. Her storytelling is unprecedented. JDL_8. Holy cow, Gil, great interview. Richard Palma, great guest. Big Lake Show, Eric, this is a great story. Raiders Nation 75, great interview this morning. Christopher Lubisnek, awesome interview, awesome appearance. End civil asset forfeiture now. Should be a campaign slogan. Edward Lefevre, that was my favorite hit of the year, Gil. Joseph Durham Jr., Gina is a hero of mine. One day I hope to get to speak with her about her famous lawsuit. Doug Wedge, this is totally fascinating. I need to watch that doc. And Lollygaggers, I heard the interview with Gina Fiore today. I just want to say it was the best thing VSiN ever did. You need to get Gina on regularly. Gina, I am now following you. And on and on and on.
The part that really kind of shocked me was the documentary stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I figured it out, you know, the day before we were doing a little research prep for it and everything, figured out that there's a doc that's been made. And I'm like, where can I watch this?
Yeah.
Well, oh, not, I can't.
because one of these
media companies is holding it up so they can sell it for the right price to the right people. I'm like, I was thinking about that all afternoon. I was like, man, that would drive me nuts. So imagine if someone came and shot a documentary about you, and like 2 years later, you're like, hey, any update on this? And they're like, and we're waiting for the right place to release
it. And now an 85-year-old Kelly Bidlin gets to see the documentary on his life.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. J-Rod is cracking studio. Yes, Jamie Leva, Tim Murray in between Zach and Crack. Sounds like a good hang. Count me in. Well, let's get it going with Zach Cohen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He, of course, is part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX. What's happening, Zach?
Not much. I have a tough act to follow with Gita yesterday.
Hey, man, you go to Stanford? Is that why you're wearing that Stanford sweatshirt? What's up with that?
Yeah, I've been to Palo Alto before. I ate an assault and straw there. I did not go to Stanford.
Okay, just check it. Just want to get your cred out there.
No, I had a Harvard t-shirt I used to wear around Florida State sometimes. Dead serious. Just for the laughs. For the looks.
Did you have a
Subway University?
Do you have a built-in line if people ask you, hey, you go to Harvard, what year?
No, not at all. It's always just weird looks.
All right, Zach, let's start with NBA. Anything in the NBA tonight for you?
Yeah, I have a lot in the NBA tonight. I really like the Spurs money line against the Hawks. I'm interested in seeing what this, Vegas hangover looks like for some teams. But in general, I just think San Antonio is just as good as Atlanta. And I think it's a really tough matchup for Atlanta. I think Steph Castle is going to be able to do a pretty good job of handling Trae Young in this game. He has been a really, really good perimeter defender right away as a rookie. And I just don't really like the center matchups that the Hawks have for Wembanyama. Capella's a little bit too slow. Okongwu's too short. He's actually not even going to be playing tonight. He's injured. But I just think that the Spurs team should be able to get the job done at home. They're 9-7 at home on the year. The Hawks are .500 on the road. Hawks have also struggled against Western Conference teams.
Kelly and I saw Clint Capella on
Saturday night. Gil and I were enjoying a late dinner at Wynn, and we counted I don't know how many Hawks players. I mean, it's quite a while from Saturday to Thursday. I think any hangovers or anything like that we shouldn't worry about, but it was Clint Capella, Larry Nance Jr., who I learned that night was on the Atlanta Hawks. And he's looking skinny. He's looking skinny. Remember I said that like three times?
Yeah. They were all over the place. And but you're right. No, there's no handicapping angle to that. We just wanted to point out that we were hanging with
them. None of them were hanging out together, which made me sad.
Kelly went to try to play blackjack with someone. You didn't find anybody?
I didn't find anybody on the way out, no. Yeah. No.
Sorry. Okay. What else in the NBA?
I have the Mavericks team total under 113.5 against the Clippers tonight. There's no Luka, and Kyrie is questionable. I'm interested in seeing what that does for their pace. Luka does like to, score a lot of baskets with hit-ahead passes and just kind of getting down the floor and, jacking up threes. And this Clippers team does like to slow opponents down. They're the bottom 10 in the league in pace of play. They're also sixth in the league in adjusted defensive rating, and they're giving up under 110 points per game this year. So I'd be really interested in seeing how that looks. I'd be surprised if Dallas lights up the scoreboard.
Hey, Zach, do you have any read on when you think we're going to see Kawhi actually hit the court? Because now he's actually been, practicing 5-on-5 here recently?
I saw a report that he's going to be missing at least the next 4 games. I don't know why it's that specific, but I would assume, 2 weeks we see him.
You two are basketball hardos.
This is extremely specific.
Are you all worried with the declining ratings that have been so widely reported that Adam Silver is going to go all Rob Manfred on us and try to come up with some gimmicky thing to put into the rules for next year?
I don't think so. I mean, I would like to see the NBA Cup have a little bit more of a season tie-in, like the winner gets an automatic 4 seed at the least or something like that. I think that would be a really interesting, wrinkle to add to that. But I already kind of think that the NBA Cup is awesome. So I don't know how much we have to change it. I know that the Las Vegas thing apparently is not working out very well.
I'm not talking about the NBA Cup. I'm talking about the NBA.
Yeah. I think it's a great question, Gil.
Yeah.
And am I a little scared of it? In the back of my mind,
you want to hear one of the ones that I've heard floated?
What, 4-point lines?
What'd you say?
4-point lines?
Worse, a blinking 3-point line, which sometimes becomes 4-point and other times.
Okay, that's the most ridiculous thing.
That's insane.
I mean, I'm just telling you, because Rob Manfred, right, at least he tries stuff, right? And so, people can say what they want, but the pitch clock has been successful. No one cares about that. The size of the bags, people are like, oh my God, everybody's going to steal. Well, steals have gone up. So some of the things have worked out. Now, again, this whole notion of, anybody can bat twice in one inning, that thing that he floated the last time is insane. And I won't watch another baseball game if it happens, but I think he's just floating stuff. But I do think we're getting to the point with the NBA where Adam Silver Adam Silver is going to have to try to come up with some stuff. And I'm just curious if you guys are, as basketball purists, you're going to be like, oh, no, here we go, because I think it's coming. Anything else in the NBA before we move on?
Yeah, I like the Timberwolves' money line against the Knicks. It's a little bit juicy, but the Timberwolves have won 6 of their last 7. Their defensive rating is now better than it was last year when we viewed them as, you know, an elite defensive team. The offense is starting to come around a little. Julius Randle's percentages are up. Him and Edwards have a better feel of, you know, when it's their turn to shine a little bit. That has a lot to do with Mike Conley playing. I noted to Kelly and JVT a couple of days ago, the Timberwolves are 14-7 when Conley plays, 0-4 without him. He's healthy right now, and this is a Knicks team that can really struggle defensively, and Minnesota can shoot the three ball. So I think that Minnesota is going to be able to score points in this game, and I trust them defensively to kind of hold their own against the Knicks.
All right, to college football. We do have a couple bowl games, a few bowl games before we get to the actual playoff. We have Georgia Southern and Sam Houston State. Georgia Southern, short favorite today in the New Orleans Bowl. Then we have Ohio and Jacksonville State in the Cure Bowl, Tulane in Florida, and the old Gasparilla Bowl. Who doesn't love the Gasparilla Bowl? And then we finally get to, on Friday night, the college football playoff beginning with Indiana and Notre Dame. Any thoughts on any of those three bowls before the playoff and then go to the playoff itself, sir?
The only one that I really like is, I think you're laying the points with Florida. I just think that the way that the Gators looked in the second half of the season, they looked like a team that might have made the playoff if they played that way the entire season. I think that there's enough continuity heading over from this year to next year where they're going to, you know, have some incentive to play well in this bowl game. Tulane kind of fell apart down the stretch. They lost their starting quarterback. I'd be pretty surprised if the Gators don't win that one by at least 2 scores. But I'm actually taking it pretty light with the bowl games, although I'll be writing up like 1,000 of them next week.
So I love that. Although apparently I haven't assigned it, is what you say. And nothing in the college football playoff first round? Nothing at all?
No, I do have college football playoff plays. I have the under 51.5 in Indiana and Notre Dame. I just think that both those teams run on, you know, more than 55% of their plays. I don't think that they're going to be able to get the passing games going with, you know, the cold weather and the snow. And I think especially, like, I don't really trust Indiana to score a lot of points against Notre Dame. I think that we saw the Hoosiers really struggle to throw the ball against the Buckeyes. That was the 4th ranked EPA per play defense against the pass this year. The Fighting Irish are first, so I don't really see a lot changing. I think that Rourke is really going to struggle. And I think that even though I like Notre Dame probably to cover the number, I didn't take it. I would be surprised if that game ends up being high scoring.
What about Saturday?
I took the over 53.5 in SMU Penn State. It's kind of the opposite of this one. I think both teams are going to be able to score in that one. I think that Penn State's going to end up probably winning that game and maybe covering the spread. But I think that we saw in SMU's game against Clemson that, you know, if Jennings falls behind, he's a pretty good garbage time quarterback. And I know they actually ended up making that game close, but I do think they're going to be able to score some points in the second half. And I also parlayed Ohio State and Penn State money line.
Okay. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it, man. You're on your way headed back to Stanford's campus, I would imagine, at this point.
Yep, I got to get back to class, guys.
All right, man. Enjoy. Thank you so much. Zach Cohen, everybody. Betting on X is where you can find him and all of the stuff he writes about at VSiN.com, college football to the NBA, and, of course, tennis right around the corner. We got some NFL power rankings next right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Say that again, Kelly. You're a movie guy, not a book guy? That is shocking.
I know. I don't remember which Tom Clancy one was.
Oh, sorry. We're on air. Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing Sportrade, the app that's going to change sports betting. Minus 104 lines instead of the typical minus 110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. Sportrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. They are live. Sportrade is in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and Virginia. You download Sportrade, you use code VSIN, you earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. Got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Gina's out there. She's saying, thank you for having me on. I even put an entry about Derek Stevens in the calendar. Here's the thing, by the way. People are super nice on Twitter to me. I deserve no credit. Her story is so good, right, that it is just, it's a riveting story, but the calendar is out there, 365 Days of Gambling 2025. This is from Burner at Burnerachi. Things learned in 2024. This is a very year retrospective on A Numbers Game he's got for us. This is a great tweet. He says, things learned in 2024. Sushi Spot says no thanks. Delicious / Antonio Pierce. Bob Seger Classics. Yo. Yacht Rock Connoisseurs. K. Michael Bidlin, Top Hat or Pulitzer Prize winner, game show host. Aquarium Fish Suicide. That was Drew's fish. Sadly, we shouldn't laugh. Sadly, committed suicide.
I'm starting to creep out the crew with this too. Apparently, I can't stop looking at his fish tank every time he comes on.
We should buy Drew fish for Christmas.
We should.
He's nothing special, which of course was Merrill Hodge's take on Caleb Williams. I do not say Frisco. Thank you, Burner. That's an A+ tweet right there. By the way, have you noticed that's Tom Brady's crutch on all broadcasts? That's an A+ throw and an A+ catch. It's like, okay.
I can't stop watching the Tony Romo guy. The guy does Romo and Collinsworth.
Yeah, I don't know if it's A+, Tom.
Oh, Jim,
I don't know if that's A+. New York Mets 16, talking about what I was talking about with the NBA and their declining ratings, says, Gil, if the NBA wants better ratings, maybe they should try playing basketball. Carries, Euro steps, three-step layups, 2 to 3 step step back jumpers. I think he meant to say step twice. 85 reviews in the last 2 minutes. Oh, and of course, the ticky-tack foul calls. The reviews are really bad.
You got to lose some of the timeouts. That's the easiest one right away. But the amount of timeouts these teams have, because then it allows them to challenge, too, if you have a timeout, right? You got to cut back on the timeouts.
Duck fan for life. Come on, Gil. The NBA is an unwatchable three-point contest these days. Hey, I'm not defending the NBA. I can't watch it. Give me back the physical defensive battles between the Pistons and the Bulls, and I'll be a fan again. # Adam Silver must act. Yeah, but you know what you don't want to get to? Because you cleverly went back to the Pistons and the Bulls. That period in between with, like, the Nets and the Spurs in the early aughts, that was unwatchable.
The early 2000s Pistons?
Yeah. I want to Ron Burgundy through some of these, but I'm terrified. The numbers, guys. I wonder if people were excited to see a lady on the show yesterday, Gil. Personally, I thought you got the best you could out of the interview. Alan Boston and Crack were always the great ones to him. Shine has chimed in. Professor Shine, he says, radical NBA rule change, cap 3-point attempts unless down 10+ in the fourth quarter. Ooh. He caps it at 35. Cap 3-point attempts unless you're down 10+ in the fourth quarter. Can still shoot them, but they only count as a 2 if team has used their shot attempt allotment. Oh, that's clever.
I don't hate that one at all.
I don't hate that one at all.
Anything that adds strategy to the game, because that adds strategy.
Yeah, and it's not like something ridiculously cheesy like a blinking 3-point arc.
Yeah. I don't know. All of this just makes me sad. I'm really just not. I'm not going to try to defend the NBA or anything. It's just sad because we have Victor Wembanyama is in his second year of the NBA, and he's going to be the most freak athlete that we have ever seen play the game. And it's like we're all talking about how the game's just broken. It's sad.
So think about that, though, because it's a star system game, right? So it's LeBron is – he's got to retire at some point, right? LeBron's going to be gone. Yep. Steph Curry's going to be gone at some point. KD's going to be gone at some point. Will the American basketball audience, not the ones that are hardcore, but the bubble people who might or might not watch, will they be riveted by the Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic-led NBA and throw Victor in there as well? And the answer is probably it's probably a net negative, right? Based on what they have now, in terms of just the star power.
Yeah, probably, yes. Compared to what the height was, And I think that's where, part of this problem, I think the main problem that people really have is really just the numbers game. The numbers game, it really has become with the three-pointers. I get it, but it's just, there's also like James Harden. I know a lot of people love to hate on James Harden's career. I have so much respect for what that guy did with his game of just realizing how to, like we always talk about, you use the rules to your advantage. When he was in Houston, when it was get to the line and I'm going to contort my body and make the refs make a call, or we're going to kill them with threes. And that started, I know a lot of people hated it. And that's where a lot of the hatred started with some of this stuff. But man, it was just great strategy to use the rules in your favor, and it made him a superstar.
One more tweet before we get to the power rank is Michael Burns. Alexander and Bidlin, don't flaunt your wealth at us. Dinner at the Wind, LOL. Oh, we're not flaunting our wealth. We're flaunting Matt Brown's wealth.
Matt Brown paid for it.
Paid for everything.
Paid for anything.
Which brings us, ladies and gentlemen, to NFL Power Rankings. Plug it in. What?
Pat Prep paid for everything.
He did. Pay We're flying. By the way, I forgot 102.5 KZOK Seattle.
And I was at a free party before that. Yeah, it was an expensive evening.
Yes, not funny.
Open bar and a party before that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a change atop the NFL Power Rankings, and this is all injury-driven. The Lions drop because it is just too much in terms of the injuries. I got the Ravens at number one. The Baltimore Ravens are my number one. The Buffalo Bills ascend to number two. Of course, the Bills also went into Detroit. And in a game that ended up 48-42 and quite frankly wasn't that close, the Bills are number two. The Lions are three. The Chiefs drop 1-4 with, again, the Chiefs have always been sort of a... listen, the Chiefs are 13-1. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. 13-1, and I have them power ranked fourth because it's just this. It just feels like it's such a, and I don't think this is a controversial take at all, right? It just feels like it's a wobbly 13-1.
Sure, yeah.
Eagles are.
It's also way more wobbly than Minnesota, which is funny too. Like we give no credit to Minnesota.
Well, I finally did, right? Eagles 5, Packers 6. I've got the Vikings at 7, which is, you know, my bad. They probably should have been that high the whole time, but there's no denying that at this point. Vikings 7, Texans 8, Commodes 9, Steelers 10, and then we decided we're going to go past the top 10. The Bucks with their highest ranking of the year for me at number 11. And I know they're not playing great teams at this point, but they look good, man.
I'm with you.
Broncos remain at 12. I got the Rams at 13. Cardinals and Chargers round out the top 15.
I'm trying to do some math here. So we have two teams. I think we share with two teams moving up the most or tied for the most with you. It's Rams and Bucks that have moved up the most in ours. It's kind of interesting. Okay, mine, I went Bills 1, Bills 1, Ravens 2. That's how I did this. I'm with you. We might be a little early on this, but I just think these Lions injuries are going to they've already mounted up. I think they're going to get worse here, and it's going to get ugly here in Detroit. So I have dropped them down to 4. Bills 1 for me, Ravens 2. Eagles 3. I think that's where you can make the argument should be Eagles, Eagles or Lions there at 3. I just have a feeling this is going to get bad for Detroit. Maybe I'm completely wrong. They're the best team in the NFL, and that's how it's going to play out. And this offense is good enough to get it done. But right now, I got them at 4. Chiefs at 5. Like that's like kind of like you're talking about, Gil, right? Like we could be dead wrong on both of those. So 4 and 5 could be like a Super Bowl matchup we would not be shocked about at all.
And again, we should stop and say, you know, but why do you do power rankings? You do power rankings as sort of a guardrail so that you don't overreact from week to week when you're making your bets week to week. But when we are fully aware with the Chiefs that all we're talking in the NFL, it's not a best of 7. It's 60 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. You just have to be better for 60 minutes. As long as you got the guy with the cape on, Patrick Mahomes, if they got to the Super Bowl, would we be shocked? No, of course not.
And like, are the margins slimmer this year? Sure, but like, we still all watched a year ago. Yeah. You know, like one season ago, we all watched. Packers 6 for me, Vikings 7, those stay put. I moved the Bucks up. I moved them up big.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think there's a team that I don't want to get in front of this offense right now. I'm really interested in the Bucks and what they're going to do in the playoffs. This team is very fascinating. Baker Mayfield, my favorite quarterback in the NFL, I think, right now with what he's done this year. Steelers and Texans move them down to spot 9 and 10. They come into Rams. I moved up to 11. I think what that team has done offensively recently has been pretty impressive. Obviously, one bad half last week in that monsoon in San Francisco. But even as second half started to look better. Seahawks 12, Commanders 13, Broncos 14, Chargers 15.
Brian Schaefer says, man, Gil, what do the Eagles have to do to get to the top three? Win 15 in a row? I got them fifth. And I also have the Chiefs at 13-1, not in the top three. So I'm not picking on the Eagles. Just the way I see how the cookie crumbles. We'll come back. Tim Murray, college football. And I ask him the same questions I asked yesterday about who's the most likely to win it all from this weekend. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nothing delivers comfort and joy quite like the unrivaled quality and taste of Omaha Steaks. Once again, look at it. Succulent. Juicy. What other words can I come up with? I don't know. Looks great.
Tender.
That's right. There's still time to send the gift of Omaha Steaks for Christmas. Order by Friday. That's by tomorrow for delivery just in time for Christmas. Save 50% off site-wide for a limited time at omahasteaks.com. Plus, our listeners get an extra $30 off with promo code NUMBERS. Minimum purchase may apply. I want to get to Tim Murray here real quick to talk college football, but I just want to read this one tweet here. Cheap prop bets. Outside of the NFL, it would be interesting to know how viewership would be affected without gambling involved. Some of these leagues, like the NBA, are hard to watch during the regular season. You were saying off air real quick. What were you saying? That it's the one game that what?
I got a couple things. I also think just sports ratings in general are going to be tough to keep up, especially if we're not talking the NFL, just because of content these days and how it's designed. It's designed specifically for you on demand whenever you want it, streaming services. It's tough to compete, and that's really what it is. You're an entertainment product competing with these other entertainment products, and that's tough. What I was saying off the air is the NBA – it just feels like I get why people don't like watching it right now. I get that. It just feels like it's the game of kind of the big sports that we talk about that's been figured out the most when it comes to the analytics side of things and what teams should do optimally to win these games.
Right,
and that's everybody's trying to construct teams and operate their teams in a very specific fashion.
But my counter to that is and I don't know if I don't even remember if I do this on air or off air now, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself on air, but the Warriors did it so beautifully, right? With, I think I did this on air with Steph and Clay. They did it so beautifully that everybody tries, you know, oh, look, that's perfect basketball. We'll all do that. You can't be that. You aren't Steph and Clay. So it's like, then it becomes this very awkward, clangy, you know, sport.
Yeah. I mean, I actually think I think you could say the same thing right now, that not every team can be the Boston Celtics, because what they're getting out of guys like Derek White and Drew Holiday, it's just you don't usually get that much production from guys that you're not paying absolute max dollars to.
Let's talk some college football. We must, because it is big this weekend, the first ever first round of the 12-team format. Tim Murray joins us, everybody, to discuss and give his bets, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at 1TimMurray. That's the number 1TimMurray. How you doing, Tim?
I'm great, Gil. I'm fired up, man. I've been a proponent for the expanded playoffs since the day it was announced, and here we go. We're about, what, 24 hours away from this bad boy getting going.
Here we go. Let me ask you, before we get to your picks, let me ask you the two questions that I asked earlier in the week when we're talking college football. I asked this of JVT, I'll ask this of you, which is, one, if I came to you from the future and I said, hey, one of the 8 teams, by the way, I realize who I'm asking this question of, so I kind of know the answer. But if one of the eight teams this week won the national championship, that's what I came to you from the future to tell you. Who is that team, Tim Murray, Notre Dame fan?
Texas.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think from a pure power rating standpoint, it would be Texas. Now, I've had my questions about the Longhorns all year, but I think from what they have, they were in the playoff last year. Do I have questions about their quarterback? Sure. I've got questions about every single team's quarterback, maybe outside of Oregon. So I think if you came to me and said this team won the title that's playing this weekend, well, based off of the odds, it would be Texas. They are the co-favorite to win the national championship. If they win this weekend, they have a game against Arizona State where I think they have a massive advantage, because Arizona State is without their leading wide receiver. And just from a pound-for-pound standpoint, they're a better football team. So certainly from a road standpoint, I think they've got a optimal road to get to the semifinals. So yeah, as much as I would love to say it's Notre Dame, I think the answer is Texas.
Yeah, with Arizona State waiting to play the winner of Texas Clemson. Right. Here's the other question about the first round. They're all at least touchdown favorites, right? Notre Dame being the lowest, a 7-point favorite against Indiana. Ohio State right there is a 7.5-point favorite against Tennessee. But they're all 7-point favorites or greater. Who is the most likely? This is a Megapod transferred question. Who is the most likely of those 4 favorites to lose outright?
So I think conventional wisdom, and most people would immediately say Tennessee. And I actually put this question out on social media, and 43% of people who have chimed in on my Twitter feed have said Tennessee. Tennessee, to steal a phrase from our mutual friend, Chris the Bear Felica, is starting to feel like a dog with fleas. When you look at the public support that's out there with that point spread. So I'll say it's Indiana. As much as I don't want to say it, I think Indiana, if they can cause some turnovers, they have an opportunity to pull out an outright upset on Friday night. So do I think it'll happen? No, but I'll say the most likely underdog to win is Indiana. And I actually have the belief, Gil, and we'll get into this game, I think Tennessee's in some trouble on Saturday night. I think this is a bit of a buy low opportunity on the Buckeyes.
Wow. Okay. So Notre Dame, the most likely to lose outright. And you think Tennessee is the, what do we call it? Always the way too popular dog. In other
words, feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. What is your best bet of all these four? Maybe you've already said it. Maybe you haven't.
Yeah. So I have bet the under in Tennessee, Ohio State. I think another way to attack it would be the team total under for Tennessee. I was able to grab at a shop in town 19.5 yesterday. I think that number's out there. I just think I look at Tennessee and I look at this matchup, Gil, and I really think the person that I trust the most in this matchup on Saturday night in Columbus is Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator for Ohio State. I think he's going to scheme it up very, very well. Now, why I'm not racing to lay 7.5 is, well, I think those hooks could potentially disappear if, in fact, you know, the public support continues to file in on Tennessee. But I also think that there is a bit of a question about Ohio State's offensive line. Their left tackle was lost to the year a couple weeks back. They lost their starting center, and Tennessee's strength is their defensive line. So I like the under. Obviously, we've seen some under money come into the market. It was 47.5 around open, now into 46.5. So I still like the under, but I also like team total under as well for Tennessee. I think they struggle to have consistency against this Ohio State defense that, look, the best unit on the field Saturday night, in my opinion, will be the Ohio State defense. So I'm not racing to lay 7.5 here with Ohio State, but I think there is a struggle coming for this Tennessee offense. So I like full game under, team total under. That's kind of the way I'm looking to attack Saturday night in Columbus.
Yeah, that seems like a really popular pick, the Tennessee-Ohio State under. Anecdotally, yeah, just in terms of guests we've had, people on the network, people really like the under in that. What is the, let me ask it this way, a third question. What is the quarterfinal, the potential quarterfinal matchup? And obviously, we don't know what those are going to be. Those will only be determined after Saturday night. But what's the one that you would almost hope happens because you believe the line will be able to be exploited?
Ooh, that's a good question, because I think the easy answer would be Notre Dame, Georgia, because the look ahead lines right now, Gil, are Notre Dame -1.5, -2. And I think that is coming to a shock to most people. And, you know, we talked to Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook on VSiN Primetime last night, and we talked to him a week ago when they put out these look ahead numbers. And I think a lot of people are going to race, understandably so, if that is the matchup to take the points with Georgia. But we don't know about Gunnar Stockton as a full-time starter. I think that is certainly a question. You know, I actually wrote up this line for the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, and I am not a big chalk eater. I don't like laying it, but I mentioned it already. I think anything under 2 touchdowns, if we get Texas and Arizona State, is a play on Texas, because Texas's strength is their offensive line, and as tremendous as Cam Scadaboo is, the Arizona State running back, Gil, you know, without Jordan Tyson there, their lead wide receiver, and they were able to overcome him not being on the field in the Big 12 championship game. I think that's where they get potentially exploited in a possible Peach Bowl matchup. So for me, to answer your question, I kind of hope we get Texas Arizona State, because I do think that is going to be a line that's going to be massive, 11.5, 12.5. But I actually think that will be a play for me on the Texas side.
You think it'll be massive, but not high enough, in other words. That's interesting. Okay, and then before you go here, we only have a minute. Non-playoff, what in bowl season, what's your favorite bet right now that's out there?
Oh, man, I know I'm going to do it again. FanDuel still has 13.5 on this Syracuse-Washington State game. You know, sometimes you got to take advantage of teams that are just going to be depleted. Washington State, Gil, is going to be without their head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, QB coach, running back coach, starting quarterback. I mean, the whole team's in the portal.
Is that good?
And Fran Brown has essentially said everyone's playing for Syracuse. So, You know, if you can get under a touchdown, or excuse me, under two touchdowns, under a touchdown would be great. Under two touchdowns, which is out there at FanDuel, I got to lay the lumber here with Syracuse in this spot against a roster that I don't know who's showing up in San Diego for Wazoo.
Tim again saying baked in, but not baked in enough is what he is. What he's selling us here. Okay, Tim, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it as always.
All right, Gil. See you, man.
Tim Murray, everybody. Host of VEASAN Prime Time. Coming back, crack, unscripted, numbers game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.